For the Master. My name is Chip Horton, as Brian has just announced, and glad to be with you today. And we know that there are quite a few of you out there that listen on a regular basis, so we're certainly glad to have you with us. I know my wife is listening as she waits for the cable guy to come and fix our cable again and again and again. Don't know what the problem is. Glad to have Miss Frieda with us. I know she always listens regularly out there on the highway. Glad to have you with us. I know that my mom usually listens, but she's traveling today, so pray for her safe travel as she travels from Virginia back to Tennessee. Lots of people to pray for today. We know that many of our number have gone south to help with the recovery process after flood Harvey has come through, and so pray for their safety as well. Those of you that have opportunity to give, we certainly are thankful that God has given us that ability to give back and be able to help in time of need. There's all kinds of opportunities to give out there, and as you have opportunity, do your research, because this is unfortunately the time that a lot of scam artists rise up and would try to offer an opportunity for you to give and then take your money from you. So be very careful, as it is the opportunity that gives way during these particular times of crises. Let's see, where do we go? We go to the bulletin board. Don't have Brother Richard with me this morning to guide me, so we'll try to get through this on our own today. And by the way, my chat window is not up, and so if you are in there, I regret not being able to see you at this particular moment, but as you have the opportunity to chat back and forth with others there, please don't disregard that opportunity. It's still there. It's just I'm not personally there this morning. Reminding you, as we have for quite some time now, ladies, that you need to be involved in getting signed up for the Texas Ladies in Christ Retreat. We've been telling you that the time is drawing near for the registration to close, and that is September. So that time is just about gone. I think I heard one of the ladies the other day say the registration was about full. So a great opportunity for you if you've got the opportunity to spend that $60 for a good weekend down there at the Brady Bible Camp. We hope that you'll do that. If you're taking your young ladies with you from 15 to 21, then theirs is half price. And so $30 for ladies that are 15 to 21, $60 for the rest of you. And remember that there's plenty of good, godly ladies that are coming to speak. You'll be benefited by that and uplifted and edified. And so make sure and get in touch with those that are registering now. And remember that that particular weekend is October the 5th through the 7th, just right around the corner. Weird how we were saying that. We were looking forward to school letting out. Now school's already back in, and now we're already looking at Halloween being upon us. Just insane the way the time flies. Also, Lisa Harris is coming to conduct a Ladies' Day up at the North Main Church of Christ there in Malvern, Arkansas. And so I know that they're excited about that. And remember, that's going to be on September the 23rd. Registration starts that morning at 9, and then they begin studying God's Word at 9:30. And so they've asked you to call Amanda, text her, whatever is convenient for you, to RSVP. They need to know how much food to be preparing for lunch, you know. So you can text them or call Amanda at 225-326-9179. Again, that's a Ladies' Day there at the North Main Church of Christ, September the 23rd, in Malvern, Arkansas, with Lisa Harris. Also be aware that John and Carla Moore are coming in to do their marriage and family seminar. Couldn't get it out of my mouth. And so they're excited that the Granbury Street Church of Christ is going to host this for them. And it begins Friday night, September the 15th at 7, and picks up again Saturday morning at 9:30, and then ends on the regular class times and sermon setting, as we know that takes place on Sunday. So if you need more information, please contact the Granbury Street Church of Christ. They're in Cleburne, Texas. They have a Facebook page, cleburne.church/family seminar, or you can get in touch with them, cleburne.church/family. They're looking forward to having you there, and I know that John and Carla Moore will not disappoint. So September the 15th through the 17th of this year, there's going to be a great seminar there at the Granbury Street Church of Christ. So join them for that if you can. That is all the announcements that I have in front of me. And maybe you're saying, hey, wait, we've got an event that is, well, get that to us. Send us that flyer. You can send it up here at office@tgrn.org. We can take care of that. You can call our good secretary here and talk to her, and she can get you set up with that information as well if you need to. Our number here is 903-537-4129. We'd be glad to hear from you if you want to call. Also, we are sending a donation out, I believe, Monday. And so if you're listening today and you would like to be able to give to the flood restoration that we're going to be sending, you can get in touch with our office and she can take care of that for you. Checks have been coming in from around the Brotherhood, people wanting to help. And so as we have that extra contribution on Sunday, whatever is sent in additionally, we'll add that all together and send one big check first thing Monday morning. So if you can be a part of that, we'd appreciate it. That's a good work, helping those individuals that are misplaced during this storm. All right. Well, if you've got God's Word in front of you this morning, we have the task of studying Proverbs 22, 23, and 24 together. A lot of scripture there, a lot of familiar passages that we've heard through the years, and we have the opportunity to cover those this morning. We'll read through sections and go back and comment as we have opportunity and time. So if you've got your word with you, go ahead and turn with me. And we'll read, let's see, about the first 9 verses together. Chapter 22 of the Proverbs. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. The rich and poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Thorns and snares are in the way of the forward. He that doth keep his soul shall be far from them. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. The rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. He that soweth iniquity shall reap vanity, and the rod of his anger shall fail. He that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor. A lot of great information here. I love the Proverbs, the way they give you a positive and a negative, or even a negative and a positive. And so you're constantly given these beautiful contrasts to see the benefit of good and the destruction that comes along with evil. And so basically what we're having throughout the Proverbs is an opportunity to make a decision. And the decision begins this morning with a good name. You know, it was back on the Sermon on the Mount that's recorded Matthew 5, Luke 2, or Luke 6, rather. We have this beautiful sermon of Jesus Christ recorded. And in Luke's account, at chapter 6 and verse 26, Jesus is recorded as saying, "Woe unto you, when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets." Now, this doesn't mean that we ought to see how many enemies that we can make, right? We don't just go about making enemies. But when everybody has nothing but wonderful, swelling things to say about you, you might kind of wonder if maybe it is that all you're speaking is the smooth things. And it's certainly true of a gospel preacher. If, you know, there's nothing harsh that is said, he spoke really hard today. You got to kind of wonder from time to time if maybe we don't need to step it up a little bit. Do like Paul and Silas and wax bold, right? And so any of us that walk the face of this earth would be able to understand and maybe even agree that, you know, when folks receive us favorably, feels good, doesn't it? It's kind of a rewarding experience to walk into a room and have somebody applaud or have everybody patting you on the back and saying, man, what a good guy this is. But when it comes to receiving that because of things that you have refused to say, such as preaching the whole counsel of God, then we need a little bit of self-reflection. Maybe it is that we love the praise of men more than, that's in the Bible somewhere, isn't it? The praise of God. And so we should be certainly careful about how it is that we go about getting this loving favor, because it is a valuable asset, but to obtain it illegally, that is against God's will, was certainly a dangerous thing. You know, you think back into, I guess it was 2 Samuel. I get the first and seconds mixed up sometimes. But I remember old Absalom, you know, David's son. He looked for flattery anywhere he could get it. And, you know, he had, as far as I can tell, he had kind of a good personality. You know, people with personalities like that normally collect a lot of friends. You know, they're kind of outgoing people. But Absalom had a problem, evidently, when this loving favor that we've read about here in verse 1 kind of overwhelmed him, almost to the point of maybe even getting into the area of conceit, you know, being conceited. And so we have the opportunity to read, even there in that account in 2 Samuel 18, that he erected a monument for himself. You know, I've never had that opportunity. Maybe you never have either. But I wonder sometimes when I see these things, what's the purpose behind it? You know, recently we just lost an icon in our community, Mr. Bo Pilgrim. And when you go down the highway over by the freezer unit on 271, there is a gigantic, I mean, I don't know, 20 or 30 foot tall headshot of him sitting on a pedestal right there by the interstate. And don't know the motivation behind that. Maybe it wasn't even his decision to do that, but I wonder about that. Verse 2, moving forward, we'll be in that verse all day long. The rich and poor meet together, the Bible says, and the Lord is a maker of them all. You know, that's absolutely true. God makes the rich and the poor. There's no difference between rich and poor. I mean, you think, as the scripture says here, they both have the same creator. As far as being created in the image of God, we both have the same worth, right? We all have a soul. We all need to be saved. We all need God's light, Psalm 119:105. We all need that, don't we? So we're all very, very similar. But at the end of the day, some of us have, you know, been able to invest our monies or do something that has caused us to gain materially. And so we have to understand that even as you go into, you know, verse 3, you look at the prudent man. maybe it is the prudence of one that causes his riches to flourish. You know, there's a lot of discussion that could be, you know, started around that. But as the rich have the opportunity to bless the poor, you know, by providing jobs and being able to give in times like this, you know, these individuals that were rescued, quite a few of them down there in that area were less fortunate. They had no way to escape, right? They didn't have the opportunity to get on a private plane and fly to a location of safety. And so they had to sit behind and wait for some sort of public transport. But we should still, even in this scenario that we're discussing with the flood, there should be no despising. Oh, I hate the rich, or boy, these poor people are really a problem. There is to be none of that, because we understand that we're all created equal in God's eyes. Verse number 4, humility is the key. Notice that by humility and fear of the Lord, that idea of reverence and respect that God deserves, by these two things are riches and honor and life. You know, as Moses had the opportunity back in Deuteronomy 30 to encourage the people to make good choices about their lifestyles, he says, choose life. You know, the blessings that I put before you, choose the best. Choose what God wants you to choose, because there is life therein, right? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, right? There is a blessing of life. I mean, if you don't obey your parents, even in the Mosaic dispensation, you were to be stoned, right? So life expectancy goes up when you obey your parents. And so think about the same thing as we look at this particular passage. You live according to God's standard, right? You're not going to be a drunkard laying in a ditch. You're not going to be a man sucking down 12 packs of cigarettes a day and destroying your lungs and chewing 12 packs of chew a day and destroying your throat and your mouth. I mean, all these things are not going to be upon you. So if you choose God's will, if you choose God's path, then your life expectancy automatically goes up. Now, that's not to say you won't be run over by a bus this afternoon by accident, but, you know, your idea is, the maxim is that your life expectancy will go up because you're doing those things that are helpful to your body, not hurtful to your body. And verse number 6, the passage that we could train our minds on for an entire session is this one passage that we study so very often. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, again, as we referenced just a moment ago, this is a maxim. This is the idea of training a child, training a conscience, training a way of life. And so when they are old, when they have the opportunity to go their own way, then certainly they will remember how they have been brought up and understand that doing many things that the world has to offer are wrong because we were trained to do otherwise. And so train up a child in the way that he should go. There are many passages that help us to understand, maybe even a reference that I have here in the column reference of my Bible, Psalm 127 and verse number 4, which the Holy Spirit paints a picture for us here through the writer as a mighty arrow can cause much damage, but it depends on where you point it, right? So point that arrow in the way of righteousness. Point that child in the direction of God. Don't fire that thing down into the ground where it's of no benefit. Fire it up, right? Give it a good launch. And so children are a blessing, and we are to train them up in the way, look at that, the way, did it say a way? Train a child up in a way? It said train a child up in the way. And again, we could spend an entire radio session together today just on that idea of the way. You know, our lives are pictured many times throughout the Bible as a walk, as a run, as a journey. And so how do you know which way to go without a map? Well, again, Psalm 119, 105, God's word is a lamp unto my path. there is but one proper way to go, Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13. That is the straight and the narrow, the way that brings about blessing and not cursing, as does the broad way. And so train a child up in the way. John 14 and verse 6, again, Jesus said, I am the way. Train a child up in Jesus then. And so have them to go in the direction that God would want them to go. You know, I also have a little scribble in my notes here. And this might have been from a sermon that I heard somewhere. But what you see here is you have to have a trainee and a trainer. And so, folks, as parents and grandparents, don't forget your responsibility. Train a child up. Who? Well, who's Solomon talking to? Well, probably his kids, right? Probably his son. Train your children. Too much of that has been left undone in our society today. Kids are not receiving training. They don't know about the beauty of the flag of the United States. They don't understand the reverence that we are supposed to give to first responders. They have issues with getting over just to let the ambulance go by. You know, they are the ones that you see running from the police and getting shot. These are individuals that need to be trained in all that which is secular, but certainly that which is spiritual as well. Because if we forget to train our children up in God's way, then who's going to train the next generation? You see? So train a child up. There must be a trainer and a trainee for it to be successful. In verse 7 a moment ago, we read, the rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. You know, the lender has a great amount of power, and sometimes that power goes to his head. But ultimately, notice that the borrower will become a servant. You see that in several cases, you know, throughout the Bible. But certainly we understand the concept that is being put down here, even by Solomon. You know, the statement is, I don't know if I'm pushing it too far, but it's almost a caution against doing a lot of borrowing, right? If your expectations are so far outside of your means, then why would you borrow that? You know, if you would be like the unjust steward, the unjust servant, rather, that would be at the point of owing 10,000 talents. No way that he could ever pay that back. And so I wonder, how did he come into that great of a debt? Did he borrow and borrow and borrow beyond that which he could ever use? Yeah, it's kind of a strange thing to think about. But anyway, there's a caution, I think, there to borrowing too much money. Verse 8, he that soweth iniquity shall reap vanity. Vanity is that emptiness, right? The rod of his anger shall fail. I think what we can really draw out of this is that same law, the law of sowing and reaping. Go over to Galatians 6, verses 7 and 8 and read about that. But we understand that there is a law that is absolutely mandatory in this life. And it's true in every aspect of life. The secular end of your life, the spiritual end of your life. He that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, verse number 9. For he giveth it of his bread to the poor. You know, it is the case that so many times you see the rich ruling over the poor with this great harshness. You know, many of the prophets would warn Israel about that treatment of the poor. We are to care for the less fortunate, not take advantage of them. And so the bountiful eye that we see here in verse number 9, that's you know, the eye of compassion. That's the having the ability to care about somebody, not take advantage of them. So a lot of good contrast coming through these first 9 verses, a lot of good teaching, and certainly in that particular section, as we noted, verse number 6 seems to be even the highlight of that section. But for the sake of time, let's continue to press on. Doesn't look like we're going to get through all of our text. But anyway, beginning in verse number 10, let's read down to verse number 21 together. Chapter 22, verse 10. Cast out the scorner, and contention shall go out. Yea, strife and reproach shall cease. He that loveth pureness of heart, for the grace of his lips, the king shall be his friend. The eyes of the Lord preserve knowledge, and he overthroweth the words of the transgressor. The slothful man says, there is a lion without. I shall be slain in the streets. The mouth of strange women is a deep pit. He that is abhorred of the Lord shall fall therein. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. He that oppresseth the poor to increase his riches, and he that giveth to the rich shall surely come to want. Bow down thine ear, and hear the words of the wise, and apply thine heart unto my knowledge. For it is a pleasant thing if thou keep them within thee. They shall withal be fitted in thy lips, that thy trust may be in the Lord. I have made known to thee in this day, even to thee. Have not I written to thee excellent things in counsels and knowledge, that I might make thee know the certainty of the words of truth, that thou mightest answer the words of the truth to them that I send unto thee? A lot of powerful teaching here as well. The Proverbs are an amazing study in and of themselves. At verse 10, cast out the scorner. You know, when we have medical issues, what do? We go to the doctor, right? When we have opportunity to fix a problem, we want it fixed right away, don't we? You know, if you have a abscess tooth, you go and have that tooth removed. You have a problem with your appendix, your tonsils, whatever the situation may be, you want it out. Well, the same counsel is given here. Cast out the scorner, and the problem will be solved. Strife, reproach, contention, these things will come to an end. You know, an old Jewish Proverbs says, when a fool leaves the room, it seems as though a wise man entered. That'd be a pretty good bumper sticker, wouldn't it? And so think about that. Cast out the problem. Get rid of the problem, right? A lot of application there spiritually. Repent of the problems that are bringing you down. Get them out of your life. He that loveth pureness of heart, for the grace of his lips, the king shall be his friend. You know, the pure heart is seen as a benefit throughout the scriptures. And certainly the process is seen here. The King of Kings, Jesus Christ, requires excellent traits to be within us so that we can see the King as we sing one day. You know, Psalm 15, there's a great text found there that we've already been through in our classes past. Nevertheless, that's why it's in your column reference there in your Bible. If you have a study Bible, you'll notice that there. Matthew 5 and verse number 8, another column reference scripture. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Plenty of scriptures to support what Solomon's trying to express here. He that loveth pureness of heart, right? We've got to love that. We've got to seek that. We've got to want that. The eyes of the Lord preserve knowledge, right? And he overthroweth the words of the transgressor. You know, ultimately, you may not see it on the globe here, but ultimately, God's going to see to it that the transgressor is removed, right? You get into the latter parts of the Revelation, and you come to find out that those individuals that have behaved unseemly will not find themselves behind the pearly gate, if you will. They will not find themselves on the street of gold. They will not find themselves in the area of Revelation 4 and 5 around God and the Lamb. So ultimately, you understand that the transgressor will be put away, even if it's in the last day. skip over to verse 16. He that oppresseth the poor to increase his riches, and he that giveth to the rich shall surely come to want. You know, if you enjoy having your foot on the neck of the poor, you've definitely got a heart problem. And you know what? We're going to see some of that. You just wait. The stories will start coming very soon about those who have tried to rip off individuals of their FEMA monies, or will try to rob you and me of monies, saying that they are giving to the flood victims. That's coming. And remember this verse, he that oppresseth the poor for his own riches. When we're ready to step on another to increase our own riches, we definitely have a heart problem. Gets back to the pureness of heart that we just spoke of, doesn't it? As we continue, notice beginning at verse 17, we'll read down to the end of the passage, I guess, since we're almost there. Excuse me, I had my finger at the wrong place. 21 to the end of the passage. Verse 22 says, rob not the poor because he is poor, neither oppress the afflicted in the gate. For the Lord will plead their cause and spoil the soul of those that spoiled them. Make no friendship with the angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. Be not thou one of them that strike hands, or of them that are sureties for debts, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. Be not thou one of them that strike hands, or of them that are sureties for debts. If thou hast nothing to pay, why should he take away thy bed from under thee? Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. Seest thou a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men. In that whole passage of Scripture, I really have remembered several of those. Verse 24, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go. You know, be careful about the friendships. You know, we're warned against taking as close friends those with evil habits, right? We have to remember verses like 1 Corinthians 15:33. Be not deceived. Evil communications, right? Corrupt good manners. Need to be careful about who we are mingling with. A passage of Scripture we recently studied was in Psalm 106, beginning at verse 35. But were mingled among the heathen and learned their works, and they served their idols, which were a snare unto them. So be careful about those with which you hang around. We have to be careful about whose company we elicit. We need to be careful about the people that we put around us. And that's, again, back to verse number 6 again, the way we train up our children, they need to know these truths as well. And then the passage ends with the diligent man, one that is a worker. You know, the person is diligent. You know, they're really apt to be exalted, aren't they? You see, you know, those that have, you know, whether it's played golf and become wealthy, an individual like Mr. Trump, who has worked his entire life on building and real estate, you know, they eat around the table of kings and queens, don't they? Even very literally. And so we see that principle, the diligent man, the person that is a worker, the guy that works the 90-hour week many times. We see the fruit of their work. You know, his diligence, along with honesty and godliness, a humility that he's supposed to have, yeah, cause a guy to go far, right? And so we end even this particular passage of study this morning with the idea of a good name, verse 1, and diligent work, and they've got to be connected, right? The slothful man, the sluggard, the lazy man is not going to have a good name. And so there's a lot of good benefit in that first chapter. Chapter number 23, as we move forward, the first couple of verses here, let's read the first four verses together. When thou sittest to eat with a ruler, consider diligently what is before thee, and put a knife to thy throat. If thou be a man given to appetite, be not desirous of his dainties, for they are deceitful meat. Labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. This idea of Solomon talking to us this morning, even in this particular chapter, Solomon tells us that, you know, when you have the opportunity to share a meal with, you know, the king or the wealthy, right, at some sort of an eloquent dinner, watch out. Consider carefully the situation. Even as Paul says, maybe walk circumspectly, you know, be looking around. Put a knife to your throat? What, commit suicide? No. I think what we're trying to see here is, as we look at the context in a whole, don't overeat of their dainties. Don't overdo it. From one of our lectureships, we see that it was written here of a Hebrew idiom for restraining the appetite. I wouldn't have known that unless someone else told me that, so I share that with you. This idea of put a knife to thy throat, we see more about what it's about, right? And so, be on your best behavior. Be careful of the situation. Don't overdo it. In verse 4, the scripture says, labor not to be rich. You know, this is the idea of looking down at the temporal things. You know, we're obviously aware of where our true treasure needs to be, Matthew 6, right? Those true riches, those heavenly riches, where thieves do not break through to steal, where moths do not destroy, where rust does not corrupt. Those true riches are in heaven. But if we spend our time here working to become rich, you know, the hours in the day are going to be gone. And so how many souls have you converted? How much Bible have you read today? How much prayer have you conducted today? You see, when you spend all of your time trying to get rich, you miss out on that, which is so very important. So don't put all of your time into the search for riches. In verses 5 and following, wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. Boy, I love that verse. You know, it's just a moment in time. You know, I'm just one name that's for one reason or another pops into my head. You remember the fighter, Mike Tyson. Supposed to have been given, you know, kajillions of dollars, you know, for his fighting. And one day we see him on the news, he's broke. You see, you don't watch what you're doing. You spend all of your time trying to get rich. What's going to happen? Your riches are going to fly away, even as an eagle. Eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye. You know, we just talked about having the bountiful eye in chapter 22 and verse 9. Eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye, neither desire thou his dainty meats. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. Verse number 7 is one of those passages that we read on a regular basis. As a man is in his heart, so is he, right? You got a wicked heart, you're going to be a wicked individual. And so what's in a man's heart determines what kind of person he is. You know, if we fill our minds with godly things and godly motives and spiritual hymns and songs and hiding in our heart the word of God that we may not sin, right, then we are training ourselves up in a righteous way. But, you know, the opposite's true also. You know, for every tails, there's a heads. And for every heads, there's a tails. And so remember that evil thoughts and motives will corrupt us as well. And so fill that heart, fill that mind with that which is pure and righteous. You know, the inlet to our heart and soul is the eyes and the ears, right? We hear, we see. You can't unhear a thing. You can't unsee a thing. And so be careful. We sing that with the little kids. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. You know, when the opportunity comes to watch that R-rated movie, don't watch it. Anybody making you watch that movie? No. And so fill your heart and your mind with those good things. Look at verse number 9. Speak not in the ears of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of thy words. The wise man cautions his student against trying to instruct a foolish person. You don't want to trust them with significant information, do you? And so you can't confide in a fool. You may have lived long enough on this earth to hear somebody say, oh, don't tell it to him or don't tell it to her, because the whole world will know it. You know, there are people that we can trust in. There are people that we can rely on, right? Several verses are noted here in my Dixon Bible. Matthew 7 and verse 6. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again to rend you. And so we have to be careful where we put our trust. The disciples, the apostles, were told on several occasions that you preach the gospel everywhere you go, but when you are rejected, you shake the dust off your feet and you move on to the next town. Right? You make the effort, absolutely. But when they begin to throw rocks, then you go to the next town and look for somebody who won't throw rocks. You look for somebody who is better soil, right? And so move on. Keep on pressing on. Remove not the old landmark, verse number 10, and enter not into the fields of the fatherless. This idea of removing the old landmark, you know what that is? That's stealing land. You know, in the old Western movies, one of the things that you hear so very, very many times is horse thieves or cattle thieves, they die, right? They're put to death. People hate thieves, right? You work, you provide for your family, and somebody comes along and breaks into the back door and steals what it is that you've provided for your family. There's nothing worse than a person that will steal. And here Solomon says, don't you move those landmarks. Right? They come, they survey your land, and they put one of those gigantic posts in the corner of your property, and you go and you move it back another 6 feet. Well, in my book, now you've just got another 6 feet you got to mow. You don't want that, do you? Don't steal land, Solomon's saying, right? Proverbs 22 and verse number 18. It's a pleasant thing if thou keep them with thee. They shall withal be fitted in thy lips. Obviously, looking into verse number 10 and 11, got a little bit ahead of myself. Their Redeemer is mighty. He shall plead their cause with thee. Apply thine heart unto instruction, and thine ears unto the words of knowledge. Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod, and shalt deliver his soul from hell. My son, if thine heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice, even mine. Yea, my reins shall rejoice when thy lips speak right things. Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. My head right there goes to the idea of some of these kids holding up, well, kids and adults both, holding up the unrighteous as their idols. Is there anything out of place with holding up one of these Hollywood stars as your goal in life? Yeah, especially if they are the Hollywood types that you and I are both thinking of in the front of our minds right now. You know, who wants to be a Miley Cyrus? who wants to be, you know, some of these evil ones that are spewing hate all across the networks today? You know, these individuals that talk against the presidency, that talk against leaders of the land, in invoking, you know, their so-called right due to riches. And so we need to be careful about who it is that we look up to. You know, the only one to look up to is the Lord. And so verse 17, be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. Verse 18, for surely there is an end, and thine expectation shall not be cut off. Hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way. Be not among wine-bibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh, for the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. Make sure and be a diligent worker, even as we've already studied and even looked at already. Don't be the drunkard. Don't be the glutton. Don't be the one that sleeps all day long, right? Be a worker. Be a diligent individual. Verse 22, hearken unto thy father that begot thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. Uh-oh. Buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. Friends, this particular passage right here has been preached on many platforms across the world. Buy the truth. You know those things that you might buy today? You're out of sugar, so what are you going to do? You're going to buy sugar. When you get out to the parking lot, are you going to dump it out in the parking lot? No. You're going to take it home, right? Buy your sugar and keep it. Take it home and put it in its container and use it to your benefit, right? Same thing is positively said here about truth. Buy the truth because it is a valuable item. Do everything you can. Remember the parable of the treasure, the hidden treasure, the parable of the pearl? They sold and bought. There was something more valuable than what they had, and that was the hidden treasure. It was the pearl of great price. And so buy the truth and sell it not. Truth is extremely important to your well-being. The same could be said about something like insurance. There are many in the world that do not have insurance, but nevertheless, insurance is something that is viewed by us as important because it would be beneficial to you later in life. And so buy the truth. It's going to benefit you spiritually, and it'll even benefit you physically. You know that? And so we have to understand how highly prized truth is. When Jesus said in John 14:6 that he is the truth and the only way to get to God is through him and through the truth, I would say that's pretty important. And so even as Solomon says, buy the truth and sell it not. Be concerned with obtaining truth and keeping it and not despising it. Verse 24, the father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy in him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. For a whore is a deep ditch, and a strange woman is a narrow pit. She also lieth in wait as for prey, and increaseth the transgressors among men. Right? So we have to understand that there are issues that we need to pay close attention to. One of those is our fleshly desires. You choose the wrong mate, even in that physical relationship, could very well be the end of you, right? We have certainly read of that and heard of that down through the annals of time. We've seen that murders have taken place because of choosing the wrong mate, whether it be male or female. And we understand the concepts a bit that is being taught here. Even as he talks to his son, perhaps here, he says, choose a good woman. You know, a good woman is a very precious gift. Just read Proverbs 31 if you don't believe me. And so we understand that there is a choice to be made. Verse 29, who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine. They go to seek mixed wine. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. You know, at the last, verse 32, it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. You know, alcohol is a problem. And as we have the opportunity to read the obituaries and see entire families killed by drunk drivers, as we have opportunity to see those that have ultimately killed themselves with alcohol, finding themselves eaten up with sclerosis of the liver, we see the great dangers. But yet, what does the world continue to do? Give me more, right? And the individual that says, give me more, they're the ones that has woe and sorrow and contentions and complaining and wounds without cause. How'd you bang your head up? I don't know. I guess I fell down last night while I was drinking. You know, the idea of alcohol is a deceiver. And so stay away from alcohol. Those things that we see here, even in verses 29 to 32. Verse 34, yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. They have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I wake? I will yet seek it again, is the end here of chapter number 23. Here the writer Solomon talks about some of the things that others can do to a man who is passed out from being drunk. He can be beaten up. He can be robbed and never even be aware of it. You know, it's a sad truth, but drunks are the ones that have targets on their backs, right? They can be knocked down easily. You know, they can be harassed easily because they have no control of their faculties. And so the, I don't know, can you say foolhardiness of a man that's given over to this drink, as we've read about here, is, you know, the unwise one. And so, when shall I awake? I will seek it yet again. You know, as soon as they straighten up, the very next opportunity to go back to the bar, to go back to the bottle, seems like they find it again. Drinking is a horrible, horrible problem in our society today, and there's a lot of people who are overcome by it. And so you might even add those type of individuals to your prayer list today as you have opportunity to pray for them. Well, we don't have near the time to get into chapter 24, so I apologize for that. I should have done a better job at commentating this morning. But chapter 24 is a good chapter as well, and there's plenty of good teachings found there within. So use the time that you have today wisely, and maybe even share that chapter 24 as you have time, and we'll try to get to that. Maybe at the end of the year we have a couple of occasions where we can go back and study some things that we overlooked or missed, and maybe we can come back and visit this. But I will go ahead and say my adieu. Is that French? Adieu. We appreciate the time that you've given us today. And I appreciate y'all that are regular listeners. Excuse me. I know that there are homeschoolers that listen on a regular basis to many of our programs here because it is imported into their studies on a daily basis. So we appreciate you. I know that Brother Rick Popejoy, when he preaches on the radio from 11:30 to 12:30, there are many of our homeschool listeners that pay very close attention to him. He's a great orator. He's very well versed in God's Word and has always good commentary every single day. So if you have opportunity today to listen to Rick, tune in from 11:30 to 12:30. He'd be glad to have you on air. But remember, on Wednesdays, some of the great things that we have opportunities to hear. And when I go off the air in a few minutes, you'll get to hear Kevin Ruiz. He always has a great message. And then our beloved brother from Atlanta, John McCormack, he'll have the opportunity to address you. And then certainly don't forget the 11:30 hour when we have Rick Popejoy. And then throughout the day, as you're riding around, as you're working in the yard, whatever it is that you're doing, remember the Telstar Archives are playing all day long. So we appreciate you being with us, and we appreciate the love that you have for the Gospel Radio Network. And we hope that you have a great morning for the Master. We'll see you next time.
Listening to Mornings for the Master on the Gospel Radio Network. Remember to join us each weekday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Central Standard Time or catch the replay at 9 p.m. Central Time. You can also contact us at mornings@tgrn.org if you have any questions we can help you with, or if you have events you would like to submit to our bulletin board, or just with general feedback about the program or network. We would love to hear from you. As we've had opportunity to spend time with the Master this morning in His Word, let's remember His words in Luke 6:46, when He said, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" He goes on to say in verse 47 and 48, "Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show to you whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock." Let's show the wisdom of that builder and go now to live for the Master.